Welcome to part two of CN trashing the Watcher staff. No, I'm not trashing anybody. I should say before I go on to the other seasons, I did want to touch more on David Zaire. He had mentioned in his podcast about how we pretty much mix like oil and water. actually, that's not exactly true. Although David and I are in more sync now than we have been in years past. And he's absolutely right. There were times when we'd be arguing about the same point. He and I had the same point of view, but we're actually arguing with each other somehow because it kind of got misconstrued as to what I said and what he heard and vice versa. But, you know, once we kind of got past our language barrier, which, you know, since we both speak English, we managed to work quite successfully. But yeah, he's really a great plotter of monsters of the week. When we need a monster of the week that really stands out, David is our go-to guy. And I don't want to simplify that's the only thing that David does, because that's not it by any means. You know, he's always there to give commentary and, you know, to let people know what he thinks. And I do respect that. I think that's one of the things that make our staff so successful and why he's still here, you know, after 5 years, is that we do respect David. We don't always agree with David, but we always do respect David. We respect everybody on our staff. Really, he was very fundamentally important to keeping staffers on, or watchers online, and picking up for when the staff couldn't do certain things too. I often try to do everything. it doesn't always work. I do rather well at delegation of giving people things to do, but sometimes events just come up that the people can't get it done, and I realize that. But there's other times when I think that you could get it done. There are ways around it. I know that one of the hurricanes, one of many, that was coming through to Susan, she said, well, I might not be able to write my episode because I won't have electric. And I told her, I said, well, get a paper and a pencil and a candle. And she thought I was kidding, and I was dead serious. I said, you know, write it all out, and then once you get your power back, if your computer's not sitting in the middle of a swamp somewhere, then, you know, type up your story. Because, you know, hurricanes kind of make her nervous. She's lived there, you know, her pretty much an entire life. She did live in New York for a while, which is why, you know, she makes fun of her accent. She's got a New York, Florida accent. But after the storm had passed and everything, and she did actually write the story out with a paper and a pencil. And we released on time. I should say that, too. We released on time. You know, she said actually it helped because it took her mind off of the storm and the wind and everything that was going on around her, that, you know, she was focusing on the writing. So really, I mean, like I said before, Watchers has helped people across the board in many ways, you know, whether it's, you know, personal disasters, whether it's, you know, sharing something, you know, that's fun with people that they like to hang out with. It's helped people across the board. But anyway, trying to get back on subject. I know I'm babbling here. Another person that I want to talk about too from season two is Chris Cook. At the end of season two, I know that Chris wanted to keep continuing the Presidium storyline. That was something that I did not want to do. I didn't want to set up something like a Battlestar Galactica, where, you know, you're always fighting, you know, one set of demons, you know, where you've got your villain. It's always the same throughout the series. Some shows do that successfully, but that wasn't something that I wanted to do with Watchers. I wanted to change it and mix it up each year. So, and I can't say this for certain. I don't know. This is hearsay. a little bit of Watchers gossip. Chris did sign on for season three, but when, you know, the majority pretty much ruled and said no, let's move past the Presidium. He didn't have time any longer. Now, I'm not saying that Chris is a liar. I'm not saying anything, you know, bad about Chris, because Chris did a tremendous job with us for the first 2 years. I'm very thankful for everything that he had done for us. But the timing was kind of weird. You know, the timing is makes you wonder, is it a coincidence that he's leaving since he's not getting the Presidium storyline he wanted? Or is it, you know, truth is, I don't know. You know, he says that no, it's not, so I have to believe that it really was just a matter of a conflict for him for time-wise. And as Robert had mentioned in his podcast about, you know, what he's doing work-wise, we were going to have people, the authors, give their own screen caps to the artist, because when Chris decided to leave, I knew I wouldn't have time to be art director too, and I didn't want to saddle anybody with it because I didn't know how much time was involved in it, and I didn't think that Robert would have time, because at that point I think he was still in school, if I'm not mistaken. He'd have to confirm that, but I do believe that that was the case, and I didn't want to burden him with any more than we had to. And he came to me and he says, well, can I be the art director? And I said, sure. You know, I had no problem with assigning it to Robert, but I pretty much gave him the same speech that I give to everybody, is that if you're going to have one of these, you know, producing positions, then it's going to be expected that you're going to do it. And if it doesn't happen, if you don't get things done as you expect to do them, then we're going to have an issue. And I have to say, Robert has done a marvelous job. We tease him to death about, you know, his epic saga episodes that he writes, but he really has grown as a writer. And when you see the next episode that's scheduled currently, which is Before I Awake, I think he did a tremendous job with it. I read the first three acts, and I went into the fourth act, and to be honest, the fourth act I didn't like. So I jumped in and I changed it, because it was such a strong episode up until that last 35-page act that I got. So I switched some things around, I turned some things around. There were, you know, parts that were kind of confusing, and, you know, some people tried to look at it and they actually couldn't finish because they lost so much track of what was happening in the story, and it just was a shame because it was such a strong story. On so many levels, and it just really showed how far Robert had gone in terms of being a writer. And I also set to say, too, that as a screen capper, from when he first started to where he is currently, he's done a sensational job. And he's even done, you know, promotional things for, I think, Lisa Loeb and you know, some other people, using his art skills. So it's nice to see that, you know, Watchers is also a springboard for people for careers in a real life, places where they can get paid money. So it really is, it's nice to see that it's something that you know, has helped a lot of people over the years. But getting into season three, most of the people, like I said, we had people from season two, but we also picked up some people at the end of season two, beginning of season three. Two people in particular that we had, Drew and Dan, the two D's. and they're actually kind of, we're all very good friends on Watcher staff, but I think these two men are bonded in a way because they always want to find a way to kill a character. If there's any chance of a character dying, both of them are raising their hand. Oh, let me kill him. Let me kill him. I don't know what that says about them. You might want to look out. Drew was in Canada. He's moved back to, well, he doesn't move back to the States. He's moved back to a state, but someplace out in the ocean. And but no, they're really wonderful guys. And they're both great writers. I think that, you know, one of the things that is very particular about these two, aside from the fact that, you know, they have murder tendencies, is that they like to get under the reader's skin. It doesn't really matter what they write, whether it's something that's, you know, comedy or it's very action-packed. You know, both of them do very well, you know, with creating the stories that the readers, you know, kind of squirm at. For those of you that have read Hide and Seek, that's a story actually that Drew had written for the most part. And I pretty much came in and did what I usually do, but to a greater extent of kind of filling in spaces in that kind of macabre world that they were thrown in. And I don't want to say too much that's spoilery, but when Drew wrote, oh my gosh, I think 11 different endings of that episode, and each one, you know, was just, they were all heartbreaking, but we had to pick one. We had to pick one that you know, would suit our purpose and would work, and but he really went the extra mile on that episode in particular. Dan, boy, what can I say about Dan? Don't worry, Dan, it's good stuff. He is a rock. I mean, honestly, within the Watcher staff, because, you know, once our beta readers go through things, he'll also go through things. And although he's heavy on the commas, he will point out things that we might have missed. Or he'll come in and read a story before it gets to the editing stage and says, well, how about this? Or, hey, weren't we going to do that? Didn't you forget about this? You know, he said in his podcast, I think that people are annoyed by him, but, you know, I for one am not. I relish the fact when Dan has time to read one of my episodes and says, hey, CN, what do you think? Because one of the problems, I think, with being the executive producer is that there's kind of that distance thing. I try to, you know, be one of the gang, but I think that there's that distance thing where they're not sure what they want to say to me, if they read something they like or don't like. So, you know, maybe it's just a matter of timing. People just haven't had time to read things, or whether it's that they just don't want to read it because it's CN and they hate CN stories, or it's the fact that, you know, they read it but they don't want to say anything to CN because it is CN. So I don't know what the reasoning might be, but I know that no matter what, Dan will always come out and say, this is what I think. And as a writer, that's so important, especially on the staff, is to have, you know, somebody that you know, will come up and say, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, what if we did this, you know, or, you know, big pat on the back for doing that. And it really helps move that process along. Now, during the third season, too, I want to mention CSR had come in, and he replaced Steph in order to do our sounds for us. So it was wonderful to have him on board, too, because he would read stories as well, and he would offer his criticism of it. And but like I said in my other podcast, I think it just got to be too much with, you know, him having his work schedule the way it did, that it was, you know, some people just can't continue to work at the same rate that they always did. So, you know, I was sad to see him go, but in another form, I understand, too. You know, that's one of the reasons that Watchers is coming to a close, is because I just don't have the time anymore. It is very time-consuming, and, you know, if you can't give that 110%, then you shouldn't be doing it at all. So, you know, that's really where I'm coming from with this fifth and final season, is that I know that even this year, it's just been so difficult for everybody, really, to kind of get things going in motion. We know where we're going, we know what we're doing, but it's a matter of finding the time to do it. So when CSR left, yeah, we were sad because he was always, you know, a wonderful source to turn to. But on the other hand, you know, we understand. He had other things that he had to do, and, you know, that's the way that it goes. Again, I'm coming up close here to 15 minutes, so before I get into the other staff of Season 3, I'm going to sign off for now. So hopefully I haven't bored you too much. You've learned a little bit more about the staff than you ever thought you would. And I'll pick it up in a few.